First of all, I'd like to welcome each of you here to the house of the Lord tonight. Thankful that we made an opportunity to come, taken the opportunity to come. I'd like to welcome the folks that are on live stream, that they are welcome to join in the time we have here. As most of you know, our brother Jim was scheduled to preach here this evening, and due to some of the needs of his family, he's not here. I was glad to hear that our brother Bob is doing better. And so I was thankful for that. So this afternoon, I started texting Gary and saying, "Hey, feel like preaching? I could preach, I don't care." But actually what I asked him, "Hey, do you have something different? I can always have a sermon. That's not a big deal. And I actually even have some thoughts that the Lord has placed upon my heart that I can share with you. But since I just spoke this morning, I thought, well, if somebody has something different." And so I texted Adam, and he didn't text me back. And so pretty soon he texted me back, and so I go over and talk to him, and we kind of bounce some ideas off each other. And I said, he said, "Well, I can preach." I said, "No, you can't. But do you have something different? I want to mix it up a little bit." And just take those opportunities when they're given to not do the same old thing. And so he said, "Yeah, I got something I want to do." And so I'm excited that he's got a study slash sermon slash involve some other people for a presentation for us this evening. So I'm going to say no more and give it to our brother Adam.
All right, boy, that was built up, wasn't it? Okay. So I want to welcome each one of you here. And for those of you who are live streaming, welcome. I'm glad that you can join us, even though miles or situation might be separating us. Guess in consideration for tonight, you know, I thought I could do a whole lot of different things. But what I wanted to do was, since we decided we were going to start mixing things up here, I am going to preach a sermon tonight or give a study, but I'm going to have some help in preaching my sermon. And my intention is not to just ask questions. My intention is that four of our young campers here who attended youth camp are going to come up and help me preach my sermon. So I need Logan and Caleb first. You guys will get the first turn in the barrel here. Right on up here. They all said they were willing to help, so I'm not twisting anybody's arm. And you guys can come right up here to the pulpit so we don't have to just stand behind there. I'm going to get you a mic. So I don't know the best way to facilitate this, but here's what we're going to do. Let me pause here for a second. All right. Do you seriously not? You don't remember it? Okay. Gage, come up here. Switch place with your brother. Your brother's going to remember. Wow, Gary, we stink. We tried. All right, time out. All right, Gage, sit down. This is not in my script. Oh, no. All right, I'm just going to introduce this, and then they're going to remember what we're talking about here. I understand that our week of camp is long. And believe it or not, we don't get a lot of sleep stuff, so there's a lot of things. Okay, so you guys are going to stay up here because you're going to remember here. So our theme this year, I can start with this. Logan, can you tell everybody where we're going to turn for our theme this week, and can you read it for them? Here, you got a microphone right here. It's on.
Okay,
Yeah, it's on.
We're going to read from Moroni 10:15.
All right. So would you turn there to Moroni 10:15? This was our theme for youth camp. Give me a minute to get there. Just give me a second. Yeah. Yes, it was. All right, go ahead.
Wherefore, there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope, and if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God.
Okay, so that was our theme for this week. And what we do when we have youth camp is on the first day, we'll have a couple of brothers. This year it was Joel and Jay. They kind of, and Andy. I don't know why I said Jay. Joel and Andy. And they present kind of the overall concept of what we're looking to talk about. And so what, you know, as we broke down this week, we broke it down into, at least for our theme class, broke it into three subjects: faith, hope, and charity. And each one we had a group of two, so Gary and I taught on hope. Okay, is any of this sound familiar to you guys? This is going to be a very uncomfortable sermon for you both. Yes. Thank you, Sarah. Oh, I love you. Okay. So Gary and I, we taught on hope. That was the theme that we were going to focus on. And, you know, I really felt, and I think I can speak for Gary as well, we really felt a burden to try to do a good job on it. Because, you know, we look around this world and hope is something that people are struggling with. You know, and so the first thing that we asked in this class was we wanted our kids to define it. And so can one of you guys define for me what hope is? Caleb or Gage, do you guys remember? What's that? Not necessarily. It's more than that. Okay, waiting for something. What else? There's something behind it. Do either one of you guys remember when I made an example about fireworks? Huh? No? Oh, wow. You don't remember? We kind of changed up our class on the second day. But so what we wanted to ask was, we asked the kids, you know, we want a definition of what hope is. And so, you know, when I think about what I would say hope is and what we wanted to introduce to the kids is, you know, hope is an expectation, right? It's expecting something to happen, but it's expecting something to happen, and it's connotated with a good thing, okay, a good thing to happen. And that good thing that happened, or whoever's going to accomplish that good thing for you, or however it's going to come about, has a capability of doing it. And so the example that I kind of gave was, as you know, that when I went to Missouri, I told my children that I was going to bring back some fireworks. Okay. What I didn't tell them was that I was going to bring back a unicorn, right? And why did I tell him I wasn't going to bring back a unicorn? Does this any of this sound familiar, guys?
No, because we were in the nursery and you talked about it.
Oh, you were in the nursery class. That was the first day. We changed it up a little bit. So my guys over here, they're the ones who should be clicking. How come, Gage, do you know why? How come I didn't promise my kids I'd bring them back a unicorn?
Because it's not a real thing.
Because a unicorn doesn't exist, right? So when I told them that I was going to bring them back fireworks, there was an expectation that they had. I have the ability to get fireworks, right? I have a job. I have money. I can go and buy it. I was going someplace where it was going to be available, and it's obviously not available or legal here. And I told them I was going to do it. So because I gave them a promise and an expectation, when I came home, they could expect that I was going to be dragging a bag full of fireworks. Right, guys? Is that what it is? Okay, so now, of the four of you, can you tell what is the difference between hope and faith? Well, say it in the microphone if you got it. Can you what? You can say the definition of faith, but we got to break it down more than that. Go ahead.
Faith is believing in something you can't see or touch.
Okay. Guys, anybody got any difference there you want to say between hope and faith? That's perfect. All right, good job, Gage. So, you know, what I wanted to get across, we wanted to get across is faith is the trust or the understanding of ability. It's possible. You know, I could have told my sons, well, I'm going to go back to Missouri and I'm going to bring back a cow. I could do that. Because I have the ability to do it. I have money or something. You know, it's possible. I could have gone back and brought back anything. And we believe that God, you know, our faith in God is believing that He exists and He has ability to do something. But hope is believing in the promise that He's given. It's the expectation of something that He's laid before us, something that's good, that's before us. And so it's the expectation of that good thing. So, you know, hope really has a connotation of having a promise attached to it. So I really thought this was going to be a little bit different right now, guys. You're killing me. So, okay. So faith is the understanding of the ability, but hope is the expectation. And so that's what I want to talk about, and hopefully these guys can help me roll through this here. So, Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. I'm going to have Sarah read that for us. We'll give a minute for everybody to get there. All right, so Sarah's ready to read this, and then she's going to hopefully give a little bit of an exhortation on it. All right, you're up.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart.
Okay, so the Lord says a couple of things here, Sarah, and not only did we just quickly talk about it, but also you've heard this. We read this scripture the first day of camp, and then we read it a couple more times. But the first thing God says, He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, and He says at the end of verse 11, to give you an expected end. What's He talking about?
We are expecting to go to find salvation.
Yeah. So God has thoughts for us from the time that He created us and He put life within us. He had an intended place that He wanted us to go, and that's the expected end. And so we talked about that too in our class and in our youth camp, guys, and it was on our shirt. It was the S on the bottom. What was that S for? Gage? For salvation, right? That's that ultimate expected end that God wants us to have. You know, here we see in verse 11 that word expected. Hope is an expectation. And so we can, right off the bat, we need to have a hope and a looking forward that God, because He created us, He has somewhere He wants for us to go. And so how do we accomplish that? How do we accomplish that, Sarah? So everyone can hear you.
We need to search for God with all our heart.
Yeah, like we find in verse 13. We might have, probably should have run through this ahead of time, but that's okay. And so, you know, as we think about hope, one of those things that we wanted to make sure, that I want to make sure that we convey, and we conveyed it to the kids and want us to convey it now, you know, this is an important topic for us to consider, is that we have a God who created us with purpose. And He created us with purpose with an expectation that we would have something good in the end. And so we should always hope for, and we should have hope, and as we go through this, we'll read some scriptures about it, about an eternal life, of a happiness. You know, all the stresses and concerns that are going on in this world right now to have passed away. But it's not just a hope in eternity that we should have. We should have a hope for God in everything day to day. So, all right, you two get to sit down for a little bit. All right, boys, you guys come up here. Any of this like jog some memories? You totally were in the class. Everybody had to have it. That's okay. I blame it on Gary. You didn't get candy? Oh, wow. You would have remembered candy, huh? Okay. So what we're going to go ahead and do is we're going to read 3 Nephi chapter 6. And Caleb is going to read for us in just a second. He's going to read verses 19 through 23. So I'll let you guys turn there. 3 Nephi chapter 6, verses 19 through 23.
Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?
And so we read here that God gives us a couple of promises. Gage, what are some promises that God gives us here? Christ, as he was talking, what are some things that he gave us here? Some promises. I'll read it for you again. Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. And then in verse 23 it says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So what's God telling us here? Say it in the microphone.
That if you ask, it shall be given to you.
Okay, so what things can we ask for?
Eternal salvation.
Okay, salvation. What else? What else are some things that we can ask God for? How about if we're sick? Do you think we can ask the Lord if we're sick for Him to bless us? How about if we need some guidance for a job or some help in school or things like that? Is that something that we can put before the Lord?
Yeah.
Okay. And so there's something that's important here that we need to understand. And this is, to me, I like this scripture because it tells me something as a father is that, you know, I don't enjoy as a father watching my children suffer. I don't enjoy watching them flounder. I don't enjoy watching them as they struggle through something. And while I don't necessarily save them from everything, you know, if I can help them, I will. And I want to. And, you know, my children, if we go swimming or something, you know, I might try to have them push themselves a little bit. But in the end, I'm not going to let them drown. I'm going to help them. And they have this expectation of me as a father being there that if they have a need, that they can ask me and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to help them and I'm going to be there for them. And so, you know, in this realm of hope that we're talking about, you know, God continues to give us promises. Those promises are what we expect. We have an expectation that He's going to fulfill those promises. And it's based in faith because we know He has the ability to do it. We know that God has the ability to speak to us. He's done it for many of us. We know that He has the ability to heal us. He's healed so many of us. We have all these things. And so when we read these scriptures, it really needs to be that when we find ourselves in a time of trial, that we hearken back to the words of Christ and we say, God promises that He can hear. He can be with us and He promises that He'll bless us. And so when we have a trouble, you know, we can have hope to get out of that time because God has told us we can do it. Okay, real quick. Do you guys, either one of you guys, remember when I only told the story about the rats or about the mice? You do remember that? Okay, so you can be able to tell that then? Yes? Okay. So I want to turn to Romans in the 5th chapter. That thumbs up. It's success to me. I feel like we got through. Yes. Romans in the 5th chapter. And I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. And then Gage is going to tell you about an experiment that was done and how that equates to this topic of hope. Caleb, if you want to sit down, you can. And I'll call somebody else up here in a minute. All right, so I'm going to read Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. And it says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Okay, and so after we read this scripture, we told a story, and Gage is going to rehearse that story. All right, Gage, go ahead. Into the mic.
Okay, so a group of scientists
through a bunch of mice, and they threw them into the water, and they timed how long it took for them to all drown. And then they took another bunch of mice and threw them in the water and then took them out before they drowned and then let them recover and stuff. And then they threw them back in again. And then before they drowned, they pulled them out again and let them recover and stuff. And then they threw them back in, and they were able to last significantly longer than the first bunch of rats.
Okay. And so they did this experiment. They timed how long it was going to take them to drown. They threw in another group. They pulled them out right before they drowned, let them recover, threw them in again, pulled them out, threw them in again. And so those mice that were thrown in there, right, and they kept being pulled out, what was significant about them? Why was it that they were able to withstand all that?
They had more experience than the first bunch of rats.
Right. There was a hope that they had that if I just tread water a little bit longer, this is going to end, right? I don't have to be concerned about it. I know I can outlast this because I'm going to be saved, right, in a short amount of time. And so every time they put them back in the water, they were able to last longer than the previous time. They had an expectation and they had an experience. And so this is what the scripture is talking about. Excellent. Thank you for that. You can go ahead and grab a seat and I'll call somebody up in a minute. Take your mic with you. But it's on, so don't start telling secrets and stuff about me. You know, this is what this scripture right here in Romans in the 5th chapter is talking about, is that, it says we glory in tribulations also, and I don't think that's necessarily that we enjoy it or that we're happy about it, but you know, if we really are walking this path of God, we know that we can take all of these troubles that are coming at us, and because we have a hope in Him, because we have experience, you know, when we work through a problem with the Lord, when we put ourselves, you know, humbly on our knees and we ask the Lord to bless us, and He gives us that blessing. When that problem comes again, or when a similar problem comes again, you know, it's just like those mice. I've been here before. I know that there is a Savior that's coming for me. I know that I can outlast this. You know, it's kind of like, you know, in our youth camp, we have a class, and a couple of these guys are sporting their dog tags. And it's spiritual warfare. And, you know, in spiritual warfare, you know, they make it kind of military-like. And they do push-ups and they do all sorts of stuff, you know, and have a couple of former military guys in there who are running it. And it's hard. And the first time that they make these guys do push-ups and work them out, it seems like it'll never end. And they just want to be done and it hurts and I can't withstand it. But by the end of the week, it's like, that's nothing. You know, for those of us who are police officers, when we go to the academy, you know, by the time the difference, you know, from that first day when they're getting in your face and screaming and yelling at you and all that to the last day, it's far different because we've experienced it. We've been there. And so one of those things that we need to understand is that, you know, when we put all of our troubles and our trials and all that before the Lord and we let Him work His work, you know, one thing that we gain from is we gain experience, we gain strength. And so that when we go through problems again, you know, we know that the Lord is going to be there. We've tested Him and He's proved Himself. And so our hope is founded and it's based in the promises of God. Verse 5 said, it makes not ashamed. You know, I don't have to be ashamed. When all the world is afraid and concerned and saying, you know, how come you're not worried about our election? And why aren't you worried about you know, all these dangerous situations for police officers and all that, you know? I'm not concerned about that. I know the Lord will bless me. He's done it before. I trust that He'll do it again. I don't see the path clearly in front of me, but I know that He's going to be with me through it, and He's going to be there for me in those times because His promise says He will. And because I've experienced Him, and you know, those people who have never truly put themselves before the Lord, they're missing something. They're missing a God who interacts with us, who is able to help us and to strengthen us through our hour of need. And so I want us to consider that, is that, you know, if you've experienced the Lord and He's blessed you, sickness or whatever it is, you know, the next time you have a trouble, a trial, a difficulty, we should be able to look at it in a different way. Oh, I remember when I was there before. I remember when I was that mouse who was treading water, you know. I knew that eventually if I just waded through it, I had a hope, I had an expectation that someone was going to take me out of it and I wasn't going to suffer forever. Kind of a cruel experiment there, but you know, it really leads to a better understanding of how trouble and how trial, when we face it with the Lord, can continue to help us in the future. I want to turn to 1 Peter in the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse. Don't get too comfortable, guys. I'm going to read a couple of things, and then in the end, I'm going to let you guys read our last two scriptures and explain them, okay? I'm sure you guys will remember those. I hope. I want to read 1 Peter, and I'm going to read I'm going to read 12 through 15. So 1 Peter 3, 12 through 15. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be ye not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord always, the Lord God, always in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man which... Every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, there is we live in a world that there is fear of the unknown, fear of change. There's terror out there. There are people who you know, I brought this up, you know, in every one of these classes. I asked these kids, 12 through 18, how many of you guys know someone who's committed suicide? Hands were up in every single class. People who have lost their hope, where they look at some circumstance that's around them and they feel like it's so much to bear, there is no expectation that's before them that they can ever be beyond where they're at. And, you know, that can't be us. That can't be us. We believe and we serve a God who is able to communicate with us, who's able to reach down and give us peace, to help us when we find ourselves struggling and in difficulty. And He may not necessarily always solve it, but He speaks peace to our heart. He directs us and pushes us in a direction, you know, because He promises us we will. He will. You know, in our second and third day of this class, not in the first one that some of these guys were in, because Gary and I kind of switched things up a little bit, but we did a little exercise, and we took two of the kids, and we blindfolded both of them. We love blindfolds at camp. It's a great thing, and with purpose. Because, you know, when we walk through this world, a lot of times we feel blind. I can't see what's ahead of me, and that can cause a frustration. That can cause a lack of hope. I don't know what's going to happen in my job later. I don't know what's going to happen with this relationship in. I don't know what's going to happen with my country and all that. You know, sometimes we feel like we're blindfolded. And so what we did is we took and we blindfolded two of them, and we put in front of them, we kind of made a maze of people. And with the first one, we said, okay, listen, you're blindfolded. I'm going to put you in this spot to start. And all I want you to do is you need to walk from one end, you know, from here until we tell you to stop. But you can't touch anybody when you walk through here. Go ahead and go. And we used Aiden for one of these. And he says, well, that's not fair. Well, what do you mean it's not fair? He says, I can't do this. Well, you're fine, Aiden. Go ahead and do it. And, you know, so, and you know, And what we found is that first person, you know, of course, they didn't make it. They couldn't make it. They had no clue of where they were going. So that second person, we put them in the same spot. But I told every one of them, I said, listen, I will not let you fail at this. I'm not going to let you touch anybody. And so as they went, there was some times where I grabbed them, I just turned them. Or maybe I'd whisper in there and say, okay, take a step to your left or a step to your right. And, you know, they were successful vastly. And so we talked about that, you know, and I asked the question, you know, and several of them said that, who are blindfolded and they didn't get any help. I said, how'd you feel? They said, it's impossible. There's no way I could accomplish what you asked me to accomplish. And then I asked the other ones that we had told. You know, I asked Lexi Brickhouse. I said, Lexi, how'd you feel? She says, well, I felt like I knew if you were with me that I could make it. And she had an expectation that I was going to be there with her. I gave her hope. I talked to her and I told her. And so, you know, she was able to share that. And that really, to me, is a lot of what we're talking about in our Christian walk. If we don't have a belief in God, that there is a superior power, that there's a being out there who created all things, and He has the ability to do anything that's good, then we have no cause for hope. We have no cause for anything beyond just the trials and the troubles of this world. But because we believe in a God, loving and kind, who created us with purpose. He has the ability to do all things to bring us to Him. And He promises us He will be there with us. We have a hope that we should share to everyone who's around us. This world is full of terror. It's full of trouble and trial. And we possess a hope that comes from experience, that comes from an understanding of God's promise, that people need to hear. And so, you know, one of the things that Gary and I had really hoped that the kids who took our class would take away from there was that, you know, when they found themselves in a time of trial, they would hearken back to these things. Hey, I know that God can help me through this. And they would share that with others. And so I want us to think about that. But there is things that take away our hope. And if we turn back to Moroni in the 10th chapter, and just the 16th verse there, page 776, this is the following verse to our theme there, that was, there must be faith, and there must be faith, there must be hope, and if there must be hope, there must be charity. And in verse 16 it says, neither can you be saved in the kingdom of God if you have not faith. Neither can ye if you have no hope. And if you have no hope, you must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. You know, there are things that can take away our hope. And you know, Gary and I, as we sat down and we thought about this and we talked about it, and you know, Andy and I talked about, well, maybe I'd just switch my sermon over and let Gary finish it tonight, but I won't. He filled this in a whole lot more, but for the sake of time, I'll just touch on this. Is, you know, iniquity, that willful sinning, it takes away our hope. And why does it do it? You know, as we looked at things of how Satan works, I find, and a lot of you will probably find this to be true, you know, that more often than not, he's not putting something necessarily right in front of you. We don't every day have to make this choice of whether or not we're going to rob a bank. It's typically not what Satan puts in front of us, but he speaks to our heart and he speaks to our mind. You know, in youth camp this year, as I was visiting with some of the kids and in cabin times and things, you know, they were asking these questions like, you know, I have this desire to do something and I don't know if it's right or not. Or, you know, I keep thinking about some mistake I've made in my life before and it makes me feel terrible in it. And, it, you know, and I think, I've made a mistake before and I'll never be able to do any better. You know, these are some of the things that our youth are struggling with, and I know that we struggle with it too. Satan, you know, he works and he's able to have this ability to speak to our hearts and our minds. He works by way of doubt, deception, discouragement, depression. When we are willfully sinning, when we are doing things that we know are contrary to the Lord, you know, Satan begins to speak to us. There was a young man that I had an amazing conversation with this camp. And he told me a couple things. And I'm not going to say his name, nor am I going to say anything beyond just generalities here. But he said, you know, he says, when I do things I shouldn't, he says, you know, I know in my heart that I shouldn't have done it. He says, but then I think that, you know, well, I can't possibly go back to church because I've done these things. So I can't possibly tell you about it, Adam, because I'm just ashamed of what I did. And I know that God's upset with me, but you know, I just feel like I can't do anything about it. You know, when we willfully sin, we allow place. There's a scripture that tells us, says, you know, neither give place for the devil. When we intentionally do things, when we allow ourselves to give in to the temptation that's in front of us, we open up an opportunity for Satan to begin to speak to us. And one of the major things that he does is he makes us doubt. Or he speaks to us by way of deception. You know, I heard it many times this camp, you know, that I felt like I could never be any better than this person that I am right now. Satan tells us that. You know, you're a failure. And you will always be a failure. He works in that particular way. And you know, if we continue to walk in the pathway of iniquity, if we continue to sin when we know that we ought not to do it and we do it anyway, we open up opportunity for Satan to begin to speak to our hearts. And he is, you know, I appreciated the first sermon. I appreciated both sermons this morning. That didn't come out right. They were both very, very good, and I took things from it. I appreciated when Aaron was talking about unity. God draws us together. He draws us together. Satan seeks to separate us. If we find ourselves in a place in our life where we feel like we cannot communicate with the Lord, if you find yourself in a place in your life where you feel like the ministry that surrounds you or your good friends, your loved ones, your parents, those spiritual people in your life, you can't communicate with them, you can't talk to them about it. If you find yourself that you're not going to church, you're making decisions to separate yourself, understand that you are finding yourself losing your hope. Satan is speaking to you. some of these kids, they asked me, they said, well, I mean, how do I know if it's something good, if this thought comes into my mind? And it's easy. You know, the Lord doesn't work with the tools of Satan. He's unable to. He will not deal with putting sin within your thoughts. It's not the way He works. If we find ourselves in that position where we are, we're separating ourselves, you know, we need to understand and recognize that we have fallen into this trap. And Satan is a master manipulator, and he can tell us that there is no hope for you. And how many people fall into that? I lost a good friend at work a few weeks ago, committed suicide. A pattern of decisions, you know, that he couldn't think of or find or accept a way out, and so he medicated himself with alcohol until he finally gave up. As Satan was just raging within his heart and telling him there's never going to be anything better. This is a danger for every one of us, but there is cause for hope. I want to turn to the book of Ezra. In the Old Testament, the book of Ezra, it's right after 2 Chronicles, which is right after 1 Chronicles. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 here in the book of Ezra in the 10th chapter. And just by way of setting this particular story up, Cyrus, king of Persia, who was king over all of the known world at that time, had allowed the Jews, a certain amount of the Jews, to return back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And we find this document in the book of Ezra and also in Nehemiah, and that there was a 40-something thousand had gone back with the intent of rebuilding the temple. And you know, and at the time that they were there, there was things that happened. And you know, in chapter 9, you know, as they're looking, they found that the people had begun to intermix with the people who had been there. The Canaanites and the Hittites and all these people, they had mingled an unholy seed. You know, there was, if you read early on in Ezra, you know, there were people who they did not allow to return back to Israel. Okay, the Israelites who was going, Ezra and Nehemiah and those guys who were setting it up, if you couldn't prove that you had a Jewish or an Israelite bloodline, they didn't let you go. Because they said, you know, this work needs to be accomplished by the house of Israel. And, you know, when they were there, there was people who said, hey, let us help you. No, we don't need your help. We can't accept your help. You know, the Lord asked us to do this. And so in chapter 9, we see that some of the princes, they went to Ezra and they said, I'm looking at some of the priests, the people of Israel, and some of the priests, the Levites, you know, they married some of these outside tribes, some of these people who are not a part of the house of Israel. They married them, and it says, you know, they've taken their daughters for themselves, and the holy seed, these people who shouldn't, have connected themselves to people that the Lord told them not to. And Ezra was just beaten down by this, and he's, you know, and in his, as he's lamenting this, he's saying, you know, now I understand why we're struggling, why we're having such problems, because we're not following your word. And so in verse 10, or in chapter 10, starting in verse 1, it says, now when Ezra had prayed, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there was assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. And Shechaniah, the son of Jehiel, and the sons of Elam answered and said unto Ezra, we've trespassed against our God, and have taken strange wives of the people of the land. Now there is hope in Israel concerning this thing. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives and such as are born unto them, according to the counsel of my Lord, and of those that tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law. And so, you know, they made this covenant that they were no longer going to intermingle. They were no longer going to trespass against the commandment of the Lord, you know, and there was a consequence that was attached to it, and if you go farther, you'll read about it. But, you know, they made this statement that said, you know, we made a mistake, we trespassed, but there is hope. This isn't the end of it. If we turn and we return to the Lord, we repent and we ask for forgiveness and we do it the right way, the promise is still available to us. And so I want us to consider that, you know, that if you feel in your life, you know, I've talked to so many people, and as a police officer, I run into these people all the time, And they say, I just don't know. There's like nothing for me to look forward to in this life. They lose a hope. And there's a reason for that. Satan is raging within their hearts. But we possess an ability to tell them and to give them a cause for hope. And if we find ourselves in that position, you know, where you feel like you're losing the expectation of salvation or the promise of an ending to whatever struggle it is, consider where you're walking and how you're walking. Am I aligning myself with God's Word? I'll give you guys just one more minute here. I want to turn to Ether in the 5th chapter. No, you know what? I lied. Lamentations in the 3rd chapter. Probably not a book that most people read out of very often. It's right after the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations in the 3rd chapter. And we know that you know, this particular book, it's after the book of Jeremiah. Well, you know, Jeremiah was there and he watched this final scattering of Israel. He got to be there and he documented and he cried out to the people and he suffered their wrath because of it. And he watched as this final taking of Israel was done and they were fully enslaved and captured. And he watched it all. For part of it, he was down, thrown down in a well. And so, you know, so this book of Lamentations, you know, he's speaking about all these things. In chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 18 through 26. It says, I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, and the soul that seeketh Him. It's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, if we are putting our hope in a society, if we're putting our hope in the quality of politician that will take over this particular country that we have, if we're putting our expectation of a successful life anywhere but in the hands of the Lord, you know, our hope is misplaced. Because there's not a single person out there that is able to guarantee my salvation. There is but the Lord. And in any situation that I'm in, you know, Jeremiah says, he says, I was looking at all the affliction and everything that I was in. He said, that caused me to lose my hope. He says, but I recall this to my mind, that I would be consumed if not for the Lord. I would be gone. There would be nothing. His compassions for us fail not. They're new every morning. And He is faithful. He is faithful. He is able to accomplish every word He promises us. And so when we find ourselves in trouble and trial, you know, look to these things, that we have faith and hope in God. All right, Logan, come up here, bud. Yes, get the microphone, please. Ether, chapter 5, verse 4. Logan is going to read this for us here. Ether 5 and 4. That's all I want. You try. Good. All right, go for it.
Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, with hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God.
So it says here that whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world. What's he talking about?
That if you believe in God, you might go to heaven?
Yeah, there's something better. Is this saying that whoso believe in God should have hope in this world?
No.
And how do we know that it's not talking about this world?
It says a better world.
A better world, and what else does it say?
Place at the right hand of God.
Yeah, a place at God's right hand, right? Somewhere that we can be there. Okay, then it talks right here. It says that this hope that we have, which is based on faith, God's ability to do something, okay, and that hope, His promise that we can expect in, It says that it makes an anchor to the souls of men. So explain to me what's an anchor? What does it do and what's its purpose?
It makes you like stay somewhere.
Like what do they use an anchor with?
Ship.
The ship. Okay. Did I talk to you about that super carrier? Did I talk to you about that super aircraft carrier in there? Okay.
Yeah.
Did I? Okay, tell me about it. Remember that?
It was like 300 feet long or something.
Okay. So the U.S. Navy, they finished developing their new super aircraft carrier. And this super aircraft carrier is enormous. And I wish I can remember exactly how big it is, but it's the largest aircraft carrier ever built. The largest one ever that's ever been created, and it's sitting out there, and it's in a harbor. And I had looked at it, and you know, for as enormous as this thing was, I was amazed at how small the anchor was. It really wasn't that big, but that anchor was down, you know, and it was dropped down in the water, and that anchor, you know, it holds on, and even though, like, you know, why would you use an anchor, Logan?
So that you don't get carried away out to sea?
Yeah, because there's currents and there's storms that come up and it'll push a boat all over the place, but that anchor is there so that it drops all the way down to the bottom and so that its weight and also maybe it'll grab a hold of something. But even though everything on top of the water is blowing and waves and all that stuff that would want to push it away, there's something that holds it tight and doesn't let it get swept away, all right? And here it says that our hope in God, this better world that we're looking for, you know, it's an anchor. It's what holds us steady. It's what holds us steady to the difficult commandments that God gives us. It's not always easy to be a Christian. And, you know, as we went through this week, you know, and we heard some of the struggles and things of these kids, you know, I recognize very quickly that there's a lot of our youth and probably a lot of us who we really want to stand up for the Lord. But we're afraid of, and we struggle with, the opinions of everybody else. We struggle with wanting to bow our head and pray over our food because we don't want everybody to look at us and point their finger. Even though there's some people who might take strength by that, we lack some courage. And in doing the things the Lord asks us to, you know, we really need to have this anchor within us. The reason why I do this is because the Lord has promised to be there with me. And so I'm not concerned about all of the waves and the scornful eye of the world. I'm not worried about that. I'm anchored to the promises of God. They're there for me. Logan, how can we increase our hope? What are some things that you think we can do to increase our hope? If you are struggling and you feel like there's no better thing, let's say you have some problem in your life and you're feeling like, man, I just don't know if I can overcome this. What are some ways that we can increase our hope?
Like go talk to a minister or something?
Go talk to a minister? Yeah, absolutely. What else could we do, you think?
Pray.
We can pour it out to the Lord in prayer? Yeah. How come we give testimonies? Why do we give testimonies?
To share with people so they can pray for us.
To share with them, yeah. And what else is it for? We thank the Lord for some blessing that He's done. And why do we thank the Lord? We want to give glory to the Lord, but what else do we want to do? You don't know. Do you think it's possible that maybe that trouble that God blessed us through, someone else could be having that problem too? And them hearing our experience could give them hope, right? I put you on the spot and you've done a good job. All right. We're going to turn to Isaiah in the 40th chapter. And which one of you guys wants to come up and read this? Caleb, yes. You haven't done it? Well, that's because you told me you don't remember that I even taught anything. What's that?
What day did you do it?
I don't know. Where were you at? I know. Which room were you in?
The kitchen.
We did it outside. Okay. All right. So when we ended our particular study, and we're about to finish here with two scriptures, one of the things that we wanted to do is we wanted to give two particular scriptures, or at least a couple of words of the Lord, that if we find ourselves in a time of trouble, we find ourselves some tribulation, some frustration, something that we just feel like we can't bear this burden, that we can look to the words of the Lord, and He's gonna help us through it. And this particular reading, we're gonna read Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 to 31. Many of us could probably recite this particular scripture, but there's a couple things that I want to talk about here, and maybe Caleb can help me with it if he remembers it. So we're gonna read 29 through 31. Go ahead, bud.
He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint.
You know, this particular scripture tells me there's a reason why so many people, this is one of their favorite scriptures, because it's full of promises. What are some things that can make us feel like we have no strength, Caleb? Say it in the microphone.
Like bad sins?
Bad sins, yeah. When Satan, we've done something wrong and Satan begins to tell us, right? Maybe we're in a pattern of sin. You know, maybe we're doing something over and over again. We know it's not right, but we just don't think we can get away from it, right? And I like this particular scripture. You know, I think of this part in verse 31. It says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Why do eagles have wings?
To fly.
To fly. You know, the Lord, I do believe, I truly believe that, you know, that one of the things that the Lord is promising here is that, you know, when we find ourselves in times of trial, you know, some trouble is upon us, that the Lord can give us the strength to just fly away from it. Absolutely get away from it. There are times we may have to battle our way through it, but sometimes He may just take it from us. I have a hope in that. Do you remember the scripture? Do you remember when I talked about this particular word when it says wait? Do you remember that? Do either one of you guys remember that? When I talked about the word wait in this, it says, they that wait upon the Lord. And I asked you guys what wait meant. No? That's okay. You can go ahead and sit down. I'll have someone else do this last one. So this word wait, if we look in the Strong's Concordance, you know, says, but they wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That word wait, you know, we would look at that and we might think, well, wait means that we're passing time. Where, you know, we're expecting something to happen. You look at that particular word as it was translated from Hebrew, and that's not what it means. It means to bind together. It says by implication, by twisting. So what I think about in that is I think about a rope. You know, and the example I gave is, you know, at work sometimes for SWAT and things, you know, we rappel. And many of us have gone rappelling and things before. You know, we're jumping off of or we're walking off of some great height. And you know, we're counting on this rope to hold us. And that rope, it's not made of just one piece. It's numerous pieces that have been braided together and wound together because individually they're weak, but together they're strong. And this particular scripture, you know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that bind themselves to the Lord, that twist themselves together with Him. You know, we can't bind ourselves to the Lord if we're not willing to obey Him. We're not able to bind ourselves to the Lord if we don't have a relationship with Him. But the promise is that if we've twisted ourselves together with the Lord, we're braided together, we're bound together with Him, we'll renew our strength. We will have strength for whatever that issue is, whatever that problem is. We may be able to mount up with wings as eagles and get away from it. Maybe we have to walk. Maybe we have to fight, whatever it is. You know, He gives power to those who are faint. If we feel like we have nothing else, the Lord can help us. You know, when we're treading water and we're just waiting for that saving to come, we feel like we can't take it anymore. Maybe we're having a problem in our marriage, adults who are in here. Maybe it's some struggle with a boss at work or financial troubles. You know, we can put those things before the Lord. We feel like we have no strength. He will increase our strength if we bind ourselves together to Him. We put ourselves together, entwine ourselves with Him and His Word, with the understanding that He has promised us that He will bless us and the hope that He will continue to do so. He is able, He's capable, and He desires to. All right, last scripture. Who wants it? Logan wants it. They'll do it if neither of them want to. I don't see anybody jumping up. All right, Logan. Deuteronomy chapter 4. No, it should be on. Maybe I did. Oh, he might have turned it off back there. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and Logan's going to read verses 29 through 31. Let's see if it's on. Is this handheld on? Okay. 29 through 31, Deuteronomy chapter 4.
But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them.
Logan, what's a covenant?
A promise.
Promise. Okay. So the Lord says that he's not going to forget the promise that's been made, that's been laid out in Scripture throughout generations, that is before us. We can expect that it's going to happen, that the Lord, who's capable of doing it, he has every ability. If we're willing to do the things he wants, he can accomplish those things. It says, if you seek the Lord thy God, you'll find him. But the important part is if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. What does that mean, Logan? Yeah, you can guess it.
I'm just going to guess it. It will be easier to find him if you seek him like completely and not just try to find him.
Yeah, completely. Like we put our energy into it. One of the things that I ask is, okay, Logan, here we go, confession time. Sometimes when you say a prayer, like maybe over the food or something, do you say the same thing over and over again every time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do it too, right? A lot of us probably do it. You know, is that being accomplished with all our heart and with all our soul?
No.
No. You know, it requires thought. You know, the Lord says that he's going to be there for us. He says he wants us to seek him, but not half-heartedly. You know, James talks about a double-minded man. He wants us to be committed to those things. And the Lord's promise is that if we seek him with all our heart, we're going to find him. It says, when thou art in tribulation. What's tribulation? Okay, tribulation is trials, difficult times. It says, all these things are come upon thee. If you turn to the Lord thy God and you're obedient to his voice, he will not forsake thee. What does it mean to forsake? You know what that means?
Does forsake mean he won't listen to you?
Well, forsake is more than that. Forsake is like one of the places in the Scripture, it says that, you know, if we repent of our sins, it says we need to forsake them, which means that it's like we take it and we just completely throw it away from us and we turn around and we walk the opposite direction, right? So this says that if we're obedient to God's voice in all these times of trials, it says he's not going to forsake us. He's not going to throw us away and say, ah, you know what, you're on your own. He's going to be there with us, and he's not going to forget that he promised us, you know, and we can have hope and trust in that. All right, buddy, you did an excellent job. Thank you very much for helping me. So, you know, I guess I'll finish up here in this lesson. You know, at the end of this, one of the things that Gary and I had was we had a box that was set up there, and we had written on this box good things. And we talked about, as we're talking, we're giving our things, and we're talking about good things that God wants to do for us. You know, he wants to help us. He wants to heal us. So we had a post-it note, and we wrote heal, stuck it on that box of good things. You know, he wants to give us direction in life. We wrote direction, you know, threw it on there. He wants us to have peace, threw it on there. You know, he wants us to get married, threw it on there. All these things, you know, and at the end, we let them look at what it was in this box of good things, and we had a bunch of candy in there. And for some reason, Caleb was the only guy who didn't get any candy. I don't know how. But we had a bunch of candy in there because when we receive the Lord's promise, when he fulfills the promise, his word that we've hoped for, the result is always sweet. It's always sweet. When God works in your heart and he works in your mind and he accomplishes things for you, when he shows you that he's good on his word and he brings you through a trial. You know, my mom experienced some pretty good blessings lately. It's sweet, isn't it? The Lord's working is sweet. And it gives experience. So the next time we have a trouble, we know we don't have to be distressed. We don't have to feel like the world is coming down around our shoulders. God's aware of where we are. We may have to tread water for a while. but he won't forsake us. He loves us, and if we're willing to bind ourselves together with him, he will bind himself to us. We have hope in that. You know, he's able to do it. He's promised to do it. And we can walk forward in that trust, in that hope. And so I hope that, I appreciate you guys being willing to come up here and flounder through this a little bit with me. I kind of put you guys on the spot. We didn't prepare at all for this, but I appreciate you being willing. And, you know, it's my desire that, you know, hopefully, you know, for the young people who were there at camp this year, you know, I know there's a lot of distress in this world and a lot of things, especially when you're in your teenage years and think, you know, that can really sap your strength. But that happens to us as adults. It happens to us in every moment of our life. And we need to remember that God has promised amazing things. Trust him. Put yourself before him. Let him do his work in your life. So I appreciate all your time and your attention. And that's the message we have for tonight.